Welcome back, Everyday Business Leaders. I'm Melanie Ake, your host for today's show, coming to you from JP the Geek Studio right here in Greenwood, Indiana. I am thrilled to have you with us today. You're going to meet Dr. Robin Wright from Healthy Evolutions. You're going to learn all about her, her business, and why she's coming to Indiana from Arizona. Can you believe that? So join me today. We're going to connect and celebrate her as a remarkable business leader from our very own community. She's going to help us redefine the way we think and grow. Now remember, subscribe to our channel and turn those notifications on so you never miss an episode. Here we go. Let's meet Dr. Robin Wright. Hi.
Hey there.
I'm so glad you're here.
Me as well. Thank you for having me.
Sitting over here in the hot seat, as we call it.
Quite comfortable.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we won't make it too hot for you. You know, I met you. We have Top Floor Women, mm-hmm. and you signed up for that, our monthly women's networking event.
Yes.
And you showed up, and I was like, oh my gosh, you have a business here in Indiana. So talk to me about Healthy Evolutions.
Sure.
A little bit about that, and we'll dive in.
Yeah, so Healthy Evolutions started, oh my gosh, years ago now. And I actually started it as a health coach. I used to be a health coach before I went to medical school. So after I went to medical school and I did my residency and, you know, spent a few years out in the field there treating thousands of patients, it just got to the point where I was like, okay, it's time to open this bag up again. So Healthy Evolutions at this point has evolved, which is, you know, evolving your health. I really feel connected to that name because that's what we're doing. Like, we don't stay the same as we were when we're 18 years old. It'd be kind of silly to be, you know, 50 and trying to go back into eight. I mean, we just don't do that. So we're evolving. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that really was an important thing to note in the development of my title for my business was like, okay, we're evolving our health. It's Healthy Evolutions is what we're doing. So what I currently treat, I treat most conditions, but I really focus with thyroid, hormone, and metabolic health. Mm-hmm. I also treat the gut by proxy because in naturopathic medicine, which I'm a licensed naturopathic doctor, that is like our foundation is healing the gut and fixing that up because it's connected to everything. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I was in GI medicine for about 25 years.
Okay, yeah.
So I totally get that.
Yep.
And a lot of people say, like, you have that gut feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And it's true.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people don't realize, and I just did a workshop at Studio U here in Greenwood on yoga and dopamine and cognition. A lot of people don't realize that most of your neurotransmitters are produced in the gut. Like 95% of your serotonin is produced in the gut. Same thing, dopamine. All of those neurotransmitters. So if your gut's not doing its thing as it should, you're going to have a hard time producing those neurotransmitters, which of course in turn will affect our mood, cognition, a plethora of other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what made you interested in this? Like, you could do a lot of things when you were a kid, right? Thinking, yeah. Oh, I want to do maybe dance, or I want to be in sports, or I want to be in accounting.
Yeah.
What led you to this?
You know, I don't know. I feel like I've always been drawn to helping people, like no matter what capacity that was. So I've always kind of known I'd do something in that capacity. And then I grew up in my family, you know, very hard worker, small Midwest town, four stoplights. My grandparents and, you know, aunt, uncle, everybody, you know, everybody worked. Most of the women in my family were in healthcare in some capacity. So I was exposed to that. And then also, just throughout my own journey of, you know, moving around after I graduated and all that, I discovered naturopathic medicine when I was managing weight loss centers. So I don't know. I feel like that was my first draw when I realized, like, okay, I can make some really impactful changes mm-hmm. early on in the educational realm. So that's kind of, I think, how I came to the conclusion, yep, I need to do naturopathic medicine. I went through a lot of different avenues, which looking back, I think sometimes, you know, we may be all hard on ourselves of like, oh man, if I just would have done this or that, but it's all got me to where I am. So when I was graduating high school, you know, I went to LaSalle University in Philadelphia. I played Division I volleyball. So I learned leadership. I learned all my skill set there, how to work as a team. And then from there, I was in PA school. I worked as a pharmaceutical mm-hmm. rep. So I learned how to connect and interact with people, you know. So getting myself to that place and again, managing weight loss centers and seeing how that all transpired, starting my own business before I went to medical school. So now here I am, you know, up here in Indiana from Arizona. I maintain a practice in both Arizona and in Indiana. And that's been a journey. But like I said, I think all that skill set developed over time to get me to where I am now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love a sports mindset, right? Because you think about what that really does teach you about leadership and
sure.
having to rely on what your own skill is when you
oh,
really
yeah.
have to dig down deep.
Mm-hmm.
And being in medicine, so talk about like the training that you had to go through just specifically mm-hmm. to learn this, because some people would say, oh, I just pick up a book or I watch YouTube and I've got it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Why is, you know, coming to you so different than just like going to a health food store and saying, hey, I've got this problem. Can you just give me an idea on a supplement
sure.
to take, right?
Yeah.
That's a big
Absolutely.
Question a lot of people have.
Absolutely. And I can tell you the difference because I was trained as a health coach. I got my certificate from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in New York City. So that's where I started. And that's a huge difference between a health coach training and me as a naturopathic medical doctor. That's huge. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, we went through 4 years of medical school, like dissecting cadavers, taking two sets of boards. I had 100 hours of pharmacology, same as an MD or a DO. I had residency. So all of that is very, very similar. And so what sets us apart in that capacity too, is that we spend about to year two, our curriculum is pretty similar, but then we really go into more of the stuff that you think about with naturopathic care. So we like 2 years of nutrition and we have homeopathic training. So if anybody's familiar with those like little white balls that dissolve on our tongue. So we are trained in that. We're not homeopathic doctors. That's part of our training. We're also trained in Chinese medicine. So those herbs, we're trained in acupuncture, we're trained in chiropractic care, IV therapies. It is huge. Our toolbox is huge, which is what I really loved because all of my past, I just kind of saw there wasn't that little box that everybody fit in. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to meet people where they are and, you know, identify where they're at, where they want to go and like talk about that. Like, okay, we can do these. And I also have the benefit of having botanical medicine training for 2 years. So all the herbs, I'm educated on how they interact with pharmaceutical medications. And I have a lot of patients who come to me because they either want to get off of pharmaceutical medications altogether or at least reduce the dosing where they can supplement with some more natural remedies, or maybe they do need help losing weight and cleaning up the diet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, I think, what sets me apart and naturopathic medicine in general apart from everything is, why would you come see us? Well, because we're looking for the root cause of it and we're going to take the time to sit and explore it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, okay, you have a runny nose, check that box. We're going to go down to the next box. Do you have this? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay, cool. We're going to do this. Or yes? Okay, great. We'll do that. And then eventually you get to the end of that algorithm. And I can't tell you how many patients I have that come to me and they're like, they just keep telling me my labs are fine. And I feel terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like my fatigue is huge. My hair is falling out, like whatever their symptoms are. And that's what we do. That's what I do is you take the time to get to know that person and figure that root cause out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the chronic illnesses, right? People that have chronic, maybe emphysema or COPD,
sure.
and they haven't addressed that,
mm-hmm.
but they've never really thought about like, how could you help me?
Yeah. So in those specific conditions, I mean, those we're always looking at lifestyle first. We just start with the basics, right? Okay. Are you hydrated? Okay. Have you like slept regularly
right.
in a long time? We just start with the basics and
mm-hmm.
you would be shocked at how much improvement you can see with even minute changes,
mm-hmm.
just the things of the basics, right? Get the foundations in place. And then you have to look and see, okay, are we depleted someplace?
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at all of that too. Okay. Maybe it is a dietary thing, or maybe you do need a certain supplement or a vitamin or a mineral, and that may be helpful. But in those lung conditions, I mean, that can be a little bit tricky too, because you're talking about people a lot of times that are smokers and all of that. So then you're taking on behavior change.
Right.
And that usually we need some extra help with. Everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
So then in how I would work with that is, you know, I would work collaboratively with a pulmonologist. I work quite collaboratively with, you know, other medical professionals too, and within the allopathic and natural scope. So, you know, making sure you have somebody on board that can do the imaging if you need it, you know, do the lung test to make sure the capacity is there, that kind of stuff. But
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Well, that's the thing I love about medicine, right, is this collaboration.
Sure.
Because you say, great, I'm a specialty in this.
Yeah.
However, it's complex and it's complicated.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely,
yeah.
It is.
So mm-hmm. how is COVID, you know, this whole, like, let's uncover this box right now. So
sure.
COVID really changed how mm-hmm. we think about how we take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
it really changed. And so people have a capacity now to say, oh, well, I can either do this and be healthier, or if I get sick, then mm-hmm. I'm going to worry about it. But
right.
what are you recommending for people, May, that have experienced COVID, that are having mm-hmm. like symptoms now that they've never had?
Yeah.
How do we uncover stuff like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, my COVID experience as a provider was, you know, it's a little PTSD, not going to lie. It mm-hmm. was pretty rough. You just saw all of the individuals that were sick, but also, you know, making hard choices. Like, I don't feel well. Well, but, you know, these kind of things. And we all know how that went. But with I see the long haul right now, I'm finding with most of my patients that it is traced back to some sort of like a lingering inflammatory type process. And kind of figuring that out is a little tricky. It's mm-hmm. a little nuanced. But there's a lot of therapies that you can utilize to help to reduce the overall inflammation, and specific testing as well that can help identify like where that inflammation may be coming from. And then you can go after it that way. But that's usually what I have seen in all of that. And I kind of, Dr. Paul Anderson is also a naturopathic doctor. He refers to that, the COVID is like the great unearther. Mm-hmm. It kind of just brings up the weak link in the body. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, you didn't have heart issues and then you had a rough go of COVID or whatever. And now all of a sudden you're having some cardiac stuff. Well, maybe that was just like the weak link, like the, you know, we're just kind of bubbling at the top here. It hasn't bubbled over yet, but, you know, mm-hmm. That's kind of what I have noticed too, I'd say in that general trend. So why some people have cardiac, some people have neuro stuff, some people have kidney issues or gut issues. I don't know why one versus the other. However, it does seem to be like when you look at that, that must have been like the weak link for whatever reason for mm-hmm. that person. So that's how I approach it. I look for that inflammation process and kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm. But what a great process to say, like, you can try to figure it out. So you've got this expertise of all this different clinical study that you can say, let's start here and really try to build from that foundation.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so important. I love, let's share your website, because I would love for people to be able to connect here. Joe, if you can bring that up, Healthy Evolutions. And like you said, on Facebook, it's also Healthy Evolutions.
Yep.
And so if you can just kind of guide us through here, what we're going to find.
So yeah, we're going to go through and just kind of gives a good layout of what I do and what kind of conditions that I specialize with. So I do focus a lot with hormones, thyroid, even like adrenal glands too, but in metabolic health. And metabolic health really covers everything. So that is looking at blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, your insulin, you know, all of that is super important for overall health, because as we age, we can see that in numerous studies, you know, sarcopenia, which is muscle loss, is huge. So we want to make sure we're building muscle as we age. We need all of those to be in line to do so. And then you can also see, I have a free download there, pop up there. So if you're curious on kind of the initial lab work that I might run compared to some other providers, you can get that free download there. And that'll give you a nice little idea of what would be a good thing to have your doctor run, or, you know, I can run them as well. Now, if you go to the Our Approach page, that'll tell everybody a little bit about, you know, how I work and what my background and how I kind of got where I am. So again, we kind of talked a little bit, but yeah, that's for me. Yeah, I went to undergrad at LaSalle, and from there had my own journey to get here. And again, we talked a little bit beyond that symptom management. We're not just putting band-aids on the symptom. Like, I am looking to figure out root cause. Like, okay, how did we get here? Where do the wheels go off the rails here, right? So that's what I'm looking for. And that may be something that takes some time. You know, it's not a, you know, a lot of times people come in, I've been feeling this way for 5-10 years. I got news for you. We're not fixing that problem in a week. You know, right. It's going to take a little bit of, you know, uncovering and looking at some more in-depth lab work too. But yeah, that'll tell you about a little there. And then the Book Now page, you just click on that. And then you can choose if you just want to have a chat. I do a free 15-minute consult just so people can get an idea of what naturopathic medicine is and like what that looks like. And then new patient appointments, obviously, too.
Mm-hmm. That's so great. Well, I think, you know, people are talking more about this.
Yeah.
A long time ago, this was kind of like, ooh, is this a a Ouija doctor?
Yeah. Oh, yes. I still get it.
And you really have a license. So thank you for sharing all that you did, because I think, A, everybody needs to be educated about it.
Oh, for sure.
B, if you are a woman that is going through this transition or this change, there may be a root cause for it.
For sure. Right?
There may be something else that you need to consider. Even if you say, oh, but I had that, but I don't have that anymore. But there may be something else underlying that's going to come up that could affect your
health. Oh, absolutely. I mean, most people don't realize that starting about age 35 for some women is when you start to have hormonal shifts to put you into perimenopause. So you can start having perimenopausal symptoms in your mid-30s, which for a lot of people, they're not even thinking of like menopause or perimenopause, or like, you know, still living their best life out there, right? All of a sudden they start having brain fog, weight gain, hot flashes, you know, just feeling a little like, I don't know, like what's going on? I don't feel like myself, you know? Absolutely. I mean, that can start really a lot earlier than people imagine.
Hi, I'm Melanie Ake, founder of Everyday Leaders. And I'm excited to share with you a new training resource for your team called The Leadership Game. The Leadership Game is a tool. It's administered exclusively by John Maxwell team members. And when you bring this assessment tool in to lead your organization, it shows you the current level of your leadership and gives you tangible and actionable results to move forward. So don't delay. Get in the game. The Leadership Game, exclusively from Everyday Leaders.
Best life, right? You should be.
Well, that's why overcome with resilience and grace on the website. That's why I have that, because yes, it's 2024. You don't have to suffer through this, right? We weren't put on planet Earth to have diabetes, right? So yes, sure, there's some genetic things that need to be addressed, but there's a lot of stuff that we can look at in a natural component. And it's a little different for me in Arizona than it is in Indiana, because my license in Arizona allows me to prescribe medications. Like I have a DEA license, I have an MPI, which allows me to write orders for imaging. I can basically prescribe whatever I need to for people. Whereas in Indiana, it's a little different. We haven't quite got there yet, but we're trying to get some licensure and some bills put on the docket here coming up.
So where can we find you here in Indiana?
So right now I do telehealth. So a lot of my patients like that. So we can, you know, do that way. But I am at the Bargersville Wellness Center down in Bargersville, right on Baldwin. So if you're familiar with P and Ellis, it's on the opposite side, closer to Taxman. So yeah, you can call me. You get the information on my website. You got my email, phone number, and just let me know if you want to meet in person or if you prefer to do, you know, do a telehealth conference.
That's great. Or if we want to fly to Arizona to see you.
Yes. Yeah, in Arizona, my scope's a bit bigger. And so I do a lot of IV therapies down there. I have, I even do, if you're familiar with regenerative type injections. So I'll do things like prolotherapy and PRP for patients to heal any tears you might have in tendons, ligaments, do some anti-aging things as well down there. So my scope's a bit different down there, but for sure you could fly down and see me. Absolutely.
Well, you know, this is an international program, so
yeah,
people that come are in Arizona, like, come see Dr. Robin Wright.
Yes, come see me.
So talk to me about your family, your kids. I know you've got two kids, so talk to us about, you know, what's going on with that part of your life.
Yeah, so I have two kids, 8 and 4, and they are very, very cute, but you know, they're to the age where that bickering is constantly there, so that's usually my everyday challenge. It's like they bicker about the air they breathe, so that's where we're at currently. My son, he's going to be turning 5 here at the end of June, and he is really into Sonic. He likes Sonic right now. That's his big time thing in Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
And my daughter, she is really into gymnastics, so she likes that. She's very artistic, which I am not. I love art. I think it's great that people have that capability. I just was not born like that, but she came out like that. She loves to create. Like, she'll come home from school and write a story or just like draw or create whatever it is. Same thing. Like, the big joke is you don't need to buy your kids toys, just buy them boxes.
Yeah.
That's her. Like, she'll take that box and turn it into like a castle for them to play. So she's very creative in that way. And now my son's getting more into the sports stuff. So he's trying out some soccer and he seems to be liking that.
So will they transition here to Indiana?
Yeah, they're here now.
So so they're here now. So all that you're doing is trying to kind of raise them as Midwestern kids.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I grew up, we said earlier, I grew up in Ohio in a small farm town. So I mean, I had the luxury when I grew up where I saw my cousins, I saw my grandparents, I saw my aunts and uncles at some point almost daily, whether for somebody's birthday, recital, a cookout, or just in passing at the grocery store. Again, four stoplights is not a very big town. It's got like one grocery store. So I really, as I've, you know, gotten older and I've moved around a lot too, I've really come to appreciate, and I'm super grateful that I had that chance. And I really wanted to be able to give that back to my kids and be close to their grandparents. And I have a younger brother and he's married and my niece and nephew are here too. So everybody can be together. Like this weekend, we were all together. My parents opened up their pool. So we were out there in the beautiful sunshine and just enjoying some music, some drinks and watching the kids play. And it's just, it felt like home again, like, you know?
Yeah. That's cool. Well, when you get to the point where you're able to like see the bigger picture, you know what you want to do next. So as you transition to Indiana, and you may still travel back to Arizona to take care of some of those things, but what's your dream like for the next 5-10 years?
Well, here in Indiana, I would really like to get a bigger commercial space because I want to be able to offer the therapies that I do there. And then hopefully by that point, my goal would be maybe within the next like year or two to have that done open. And I'd have to hire probably a nurse practitioner to come in to run those therapies just because I don't have that license yet. Mm-hmm. But hopefully that would happen by the next 5 or 10 years. Yeah. I mean, that should happen. I don't see why not. Because we're trained in standard of care, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. So we're actually trained as primary carers, which there's a huge shortage of. But all that to say, that would be my goal, is to get there. And then from there, I want to be able to get out and do, I really like doing the educational piece. So I like going and doing the speaking and more of that grassroots, like spread the word and educate on topics. And I just connect better with people in that way. Yeah. So that's why I've been scheduling a lot more workshops here. So I'd like to take that broader. And we are going to be having a, it's called Nourish Women's Health Conference in November. So that's going to be happening, I think, up north between Fishers and Carmel. We haven't decided on a actual venue yet. But that'll be happening. So that stuff, like putting more conferences on and bringing speakers from all different, you know, backgrounds to come in and talk, and that educational piece for the community. I think that that's huge in the empowerment, and I've seen it happen because that's what I focus on. I have my first patient appointment is between an hour and a half long, and largely is an educational thing. And people walk away like, I had no idea about this condition. I had no idea that's what PCOS was. I had no idea this is how hypertension worked, you know? Well, and that's empowering.
Exactly. And sometimes people, they just want that opportunity for somebody to trust them, right? So they're like, I don't know you, but let me really understand how you want to help me.
Well, and I just find too, there's that connection piece. And when they take that empowerment and take that ownership, then they're more likely to follow through for their own health. Like, I'm not doing the work, it's the patient doing the work. But if I see you for like 5 minutes and I'm looking down, hey, hi, oh, thanks for coming, see you next year. I mean, they don't have that. There's no buy-in. They don't know why they're, I mean, I can't tell you how many patients come in like, well, I have these 5 meds, but one's blue for this, I think, and the other one is like a yellow. I think that's blood pressure, but I take that just when I feel my heart racing, you know, like those kind of things. Mm-hmm. They don't have the understanding. They don't, and I think that that makes a difference for empowering the patient to take ownership of their health.
Absolutely, it does. So I know medicine has changed a lot, right? Oh, yeah. When I was in healthcare doing sales and leadership and thinking about how you either are part of a hospital or you're a private entity. Mm. Talk to me just a little bit about, for people that need to be educated on that piece of maybe, you know, why don't you join a hospital and just make it all happen? Mm-hmm. But being independent, to be able to be an independent thinker, to be able to offer services that you need.
Right.
That's why it's so important for you to do what you're doing.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what people, like, they pay above and beyond their insurance premium to come see me because they're kind of fed up with being like treated like that. I mean, I don't want to slight the medical community in any way because it's super important. And there's been great medical advances. It has to be an integrated, collaborative type effort. Like, absolutely. If I break my arm, get my booty to the ER, for sure. Like, yes, that's awesome. But in that, like earlier we were talking about the chronic disease, that chronic disease management, that's not the best avenue. And for me, you know, I see a lot of that healthcare is being bought up by bigger corporations too. And when you have, like, I think it's United Healthcare, I mean, gosh, they have the insurance piece. They also have Optum Rx, which is the pharmacy. Mm-hmm. And then they also have those Optum clinics, like within, I think it's CVS now, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're making their move in all the places. And I hear it a lot from the other physicians that I collaborate with, is they kind of feel like they can't practice as they see fit because they have to follow a certain, you know, guideline or rule set. That's mm-hmm. whether it's a hospital put it in place or, you know, whatever. And it's things of, okay, so say they've been on lisinopril, which is a hypertension medication, right? So say they've been stable on that for a decade, and all of a sudden their insurance company comes back and says, well, guess what? Lisinopril's not your first line anymore. It's not top of the formulary. So we're going to need you to try X, Y, and Z before we approve the lisinopril again, mm-hmm. right? So, and as a practitioner,
that compromises you, right?
Yeah, like why would I, in God's green earth, would I take them off of a medication they're stable on mm-hmm. just to put them through the ringer, just to get it approved? It doesn't seemingly make sense, right? Mm-hmm. So when you have your decision-making on the hook to those kind of the policies and procedures, I mean, I just feel for that. I don't think that that's really serving the patient. And I think most physicians, I would hope all of them, had got into healthcare to help their patient have the best mm-hmm. outcome possible, mm-hmm. right? So
that's what you see.
And first, do no harm. Like, right. Why am I going to do that? So,
well, I think I see a lot of physicians struggling with that still,
sure,
right? Because they've been committed to whatever it is, mm-hmm. and they went into it with the idea, like, I want to be able to help people. Mm-hmm. But what I love about your story is, you started it because you knew, and so you stayed committed yeah. to your path.
Yeah, that's always been my goal, is the patient outcome. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have all the answers, and I'm the first to tell my patients, like, I don't know where to go at this point. I might refer you to so and so because I've hit my capacity, and that should be okay. Mm-hmm. That should be an okay thing to go back and forth, because I certainly don't have the answers, and I don't want to have all the answers. What a responsibility that would be, right?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I think that collaboration has got to be there. And then, you know, for a lot of the MDs and DOs that I know, you know, they're stepping away and doing concierge medicine mm-hmm. because they are very frustrated with the way that is, and, you know, the overwork and the burnout and all the things that you hear that are there. And right. exist, the understaffing, and it's a thing. It's a problem.
Well, and the concierge medicine is something new to this community, right? It's,
uh-huh.
it's really new to the Midwest. I know years ago I was working in New York at NYU and listening mm-hmm. to the doctors say, hey, we're doing this program and we're starting this. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. I wish they would do this in the Midwest.
Yeah.
But right?
Yeah.
So, but it just takes a long time to be integrated.
It does. It takes a while. I mean, and that's a big machine they got. It's got a lot of money behind it. So mm-hmm. it just takes people making a conscious choice and saying, like, yeah, sure, I may have a catastrophic plan and I may just choose to fund my own HSA. And that way they can use those funds to come see me, because you can use your HSA funds just to have a visit with mm-hmm. me. Or, you know, I'm just going to use that and submit. I provide a super bill for my patients, so mm-hmm. they can submit to the insurance on their own to see if they get any kind of reimbursement. Mm-hmm. So there's ways that you can make that better for yourself. And I've played around with the idea of, it's called direct primary care, which essentially is where you pay, you know, a fee to the clinic, and that allows you to come in for your office visits, or if there's any services there, you get discount on your services or supplements or whatever, mm-hmm. which a lot of practitioners are moving to as well. You can do that fee for service, kind of pay as you go, or you can do that direct primary care model, which mm-hmm. I would like to see the direct primary care model kind of move into that, in that way too, yeah. where it is almost like that premium goes toward your care already, rather than just goes to whatever. I mean, I have this conversation with my patients frequently, because a lot of them will spend $10,000 to $20,000 in a year just on insurance premium, mm-hmm. right? So,
and they may never use it.
They don't. That's just to have it. Yeah, yeah, right. That's just to have it. That's not even to use it for a copay or, you know, deductible, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, so if you have something to happen, you've got additional expenses on top of that. And that's what I say. I mean, you would have to try super hard to spend, you know, $10,000 to $20,000 yeah. with me, like deliberately doing every test repeatedly and trying to not get better, kind mm-hmm. of, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that healthcare topic for sure, it is frustrating. And I really do hope that there is a shift in, again, focusing more on taking care of the patient, because that's really what it is you got to get the patient having a better quality of life. And sure, we can live to 100, but if we're feeling terrible the whole time, like, you know.
If you're in a wheelchair until you're 100, yeah, that's not a good thing,
like, you
right?
got to, yeah, there's got to be a way to work together there.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. cool. Well, thank you for educating us, because I feel like yeah. now, like, if you just take control of your health, if you figure out what the right path is for you, mm-hmm. then you're going to be a lot smarter, a lot healthier.
Yeah.
And be able to achieve a lot more.
I try to remind my patients too. It's like, nobody's coming to save you, you know? Like, even if you come see me, like, I can't go home with you and yeah. cook your meals. I can't lay out your stuff for you. Like, you know, like, nobody's come to save you. So you're going to have to get down to it, because that's the end of the day. That's it.
Get educated. All right. Yeah. So you're in the hot seat. I've got one more question for you.
Okay.
And you drew this one earlier. So
okay.
The last question here is, just to leave us with your thoughts, do you see the cup half full or half empty, and why?
I always see the cup half full. I'm a half full kind of girl. And I would say the reason, that's kind of a tricky one for the why, but I don't know. Like, for me, and one of my mottos and my mantras really is to be positive, to be persistent, and be patient. And that's something that I have tried to lead with as well. So it kind of goes in that way. Like, that's a half full. There's always hope, right? So that's the other thing I think about when I think of the glass half full. There's always hope. You know, I think everybody has a story in their life, or multiple stories, where there's some adversity. You know, like, even for me personally, I had a whole shift of everything in 2008 when the economy went downhill, right? Mm-hmm. I could have folded and said, you know, but no, you know, be positive, be persistent, be patient. Mm-hmm. And that's what we'll do, and keep on keeping on. And here I am, right? Or people go through divorces, people go through, you know, relationship challenges, children challenge, like, all of those things, mm-hmm. right? But that hope, and then that glass half full mindset, I think that's where I would fall.
Mm. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you for being such a joy in our life yeah. and being here in the community. And I'm excited to really share this and make sure that people find you in Bargersville.
Yes.
And as you grow and continue to develop, and we can support you.
Yes, I appreciate that so much. Thanks yeah. for having me.
You're
this
welcome.
Has been great.
Come back.
I will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. This was awesome. Thank you guys for tuning into today's episode of Everyday Business Leaders. Wasn't she great? Dr. Robin Wright. Find her at Healthy Evolutions. And I know you were inspired to think and grow differently about your business, but about your health and how you can be involved in your own health today. Remember, the journey of growth and innovation, it never ends. And it's our mission to keep bringing you the best insights from our local community. So stay tuned for more episodes filled with wisdom, innovation, and inspiration. This is Melanie Ake signing off from JP the Geek Studio, where they say better IT service is just a call away. They say own it, secure it, and protect it. Until next time, don't forget, subscribe to our channel and turn those notifications on so you never miss an episode. Everyday Leaders helps you to develop strategies to be a better leader in your life. Because remember, it's not what you do in a day, it's what you do every day that makes the most impact. Thanks for following us.